David Schwartzman, after Tuesday, September 14th, the primaries, a lot of folks think maybe the elections are done. You're a candidate on the Statehood Green Party ticket for the non-Democratic at-large seat for the D.C. Council. You're going up against David Catania. Well, are the elections finished?
No, and let me make this very clear. First of all, there are two positions that are up for re-election. The two top vote getters will go back on the council.
For at-large D.C.
council. For at-large D.C. council. And it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Phil Mendelson will probably be the top vote getter, being a Democrat, being chosen by his primary. Now, David Catania is an independent. And he didn't go
former Republican.
Former Republican. I was chosen by my party's primary, which was a contested primary. There's one other independent that will be on the ballot, Richard Urban. So I see this election, really my challenge to get on the council is really to replace David Catania. So I would say the voters have a choice between an independent Republican whose economic policies are clearly Republican and a progressive independent that comes from the Stated Green Party.
David Schwartzman, for years you have been raising the issue of a more progressive tax structure for D.C. Talk about the tax structure and the issues you've been raising these years.
You know, I started really learning about this right about the time the control board came in, because we were looking at what we can actually do to save this safety net budget. And we looked at the tax structure. It's really the studies from Citizens for Tax Justice, ITEP, which provided tax burdens of all the states, including D.C. And what I found was that the top income brackets were consistently paying a lower tax rate overall than the majority. Now, the latest figures, which reflect the current tax law, indicate that the top 1% of D.C. taxpayers, families, average about almost $3 million a year. And they're paying an effective rate of 6.4% of their income in D.C. taxes, while the working class and the middle class is paying 9 to 10%. Now, this is the percent their income that they pay in all D.C. taxes. That includes property tax, sales tax, excise tax, and the D.C. income tax. This tax structure is regressive. The only income bracket that is comparable to the top 1% is the bottom income bracket, very low income folk. By virtue of the D.C. Earned Income Tax Credit, they're paying about the same rate overall that the top 1% is. Now, what I did with ITEP, with Matt Gardner, an economist from ITEP, was to sit down and devise a progressive tax structure that we put out. It's on my website. A link's on my website. I testified to the D.C. City Council on this issue. And everyone can see the facts for themselves. Our proposed tax structure would make it steadily progressive. It would give the majority of people actually tax relief. For instance, a family making $45,000 a year would actually pay under my plan $1,000 less taxes a year. And I think this approach is necessary to give income security to our majority who are really suffering from the depression, especially in the wards 5, 7, and 8, with high unemployment and so on. But even those who are working are suffering from a lack of income security. We need to address this with our tax structure as well as other approaches. At the same time, we need to generate more revenue so we can meet, fund our, what I call the survival budget. The survival budget, which includes truly affordable housing, child care, job training, adult education, and other services that come out of a budget which actually address the basic needs of the residents of our community. And by just modestly raising the tax rate on the top 5%, especially DC millionaires, we can generate over $100 million extra revenue. Now, we are facing a budget constraints because of the recession and so on. We need to address this, but not by putting the burden on those least able to bear it. And that is the majority of people in D.C. Those who could bear this sacrifice with very little harm to them are the top 5%. We're talking about foregoing a European vacation, perhaps, maybe not buying a new Lexus this year. That's not a sacrifice with someone in that income bracket, really over $400,000 family income. And I think this is a just approach. It's an approach that could actually bring a better life for everyone in D.C. because class and racial polarization is not leading to what we call a one-city community, which was, of course, the theme of Chairman Gray's campaign. And I hope it will be continue to be really the bottom line of our future city government, to implement a progressive approach to our problems.
David Schwartzman, you were involved with the Save Our Safety Net campaign, which pointed out that the top tax bracket in D.C. begins at $40,000, so someone making $400,000 or $4 million is paying the same rate as someone making $40,000. But that issue, after this, that Save Our Safety Net campaign, this election has not been raised very much. And it's not just that this, the taxes on the wealthy hasn't been raised. Poverty has not really been discussed very much. What's the situation like with regards to poverty in D.C.?
Well, we're, first of all, nationally, it's at record levels. And it's also, if it's not at record levels, it's close to it in D.C. We see the figures for children over 30% now live in poverty. I think that for my campaign and when I ran 2 years ago, I raised this as the paramount issue that faces our community. We need to start eliminating poverty, starting with child poverty. And it's possible to do by changing priorities in our budget, by having a progressive tax system, number one, by curbing corporate welfare. All these tax exemptions that are given out to corporations that provide little or no community benefits. We can begin to address this, too, by in putting in legislation that would have penalties for developers that do not meet the first source hiring requirements and living wage requirements. By putting penalties in, shutting down projects, implementing big fines, and also we need to prioritize the hiring in the wards that have the highest unemployment rate. These are just pieces of a whole comprehensive approach that we need to apply. I would add many other components. TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, from a great majority of recipients is now 60% of poverty. And that's really, that single fact is why so many of our children live in poverty now. That can be addressed, but we want to create opportunities for parents to work. And it's not only women, single women, that have children in poverty that are getting these benefits. Also, single fathers I've met that have to, that are, some of them in shelters, and they have to choose between spending their limited income to feed themselves or their child. I met two young men like that, and I'm sure there are many others in the district. This is a heart-rending problem that we, and I call it a human rights violation. This is a human rights violation. Even though the United States has never ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, in the court of public, world public opinion, the U.S. government and the district government are guilty of violating this convention by not addressing poverty issues. Not only have they not addressed it, they've actually made it worse, because the budget that was passed for fiscal year 2011 actually has additional cuts in the survival net from 2010. You have additional cuts, like in child care and emergency rental assistance and adult education. And these are avoidable cuts if they only modestly raise the tax rate of the wealthy and start curbing the corporate welfare that's going on in subsidies to big developers and so on.
David Schwartzman, a minute ago you mentioned TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and how you said that it was 60% of poverty is what it will get a family to. TANF is not tied to inflation. There's no cost of living adjustments for it, COLAs. But interestingly, there is cost of living adjustments for DC council salaries. And your opponent, David Catania, like the other council members, makes $125,000 a year as a council member. But that's only one of his two six-figure salaries. He also makes $120,000 a year as general counsel for a subsidiary of MC Dean. MC Dean, who Washington City Papers pointed out, has done some $130 million in business over the past 10 years or so. That's a very different picture and contrasts very starkly with the picture of what folks are going through in D.C.
Well, I agree, and I have nothing personal against David Catania. I don't like to personalize political struggles and in the political discourse, but we need to look at the facts. And I think it's reprehensible that not only David Catania, but Jack Evans is also getting funding from entities that are really serving the big developers' interests. I think you've exposed that in the past. I would pledge, once I get on the council, that I would take one-third of my salary and put it into a fund for promoting groups that are fighting for the interests of the majority of people. I would. There's a whole number of groups come to mind, including 1DC and ParaDC, TNAC, and several other groups. But the difference between David Catania and my approach is that my approach would be, once I occupy my office on the Wilson Building, it won't be a resource center for big developers to make deals. It will be a center for organizing the interests of the majority of people in D.C., not the tiny minority, which is whose income is booming because of these economic policies that our mayor and council have been passing in recent years.
David Schwartzman, despite the fact that you ran 2 years ago and got quite a number of votes, and the Washington Post in a recent article said that David Catania faces quote-unquote token opposition in this upcoming November general election. Are you token opposition?
Well, certainly not. And the test of this description will be November 2nd. I am, with all my energy and with many volunteers that have been attracted to my campaign, are determined to come in second and get on the city council. For me to get on the city council as a servant for the people's movements in D.C. I'm not going to match the funding that's in my opponent's treasury, but I hope to match that with just the sheer numbers of people that many of the same people that basically turned out Fenty from the mayor, as mayor. I am looking towards the same majority of people that got fed up with the government that we've had and look towards a more progressive policies from a future government. I hope to work in a collaborative way with many on the council that are taking progressive approaches. We don't have to agree on everything, obviously not, but we can work together on measures that will benefit the people. And I can point to many on the council, Phil Mendelson, Michael Brown, the council member, and others that have passed legislation and fought for measures, and Harry Thomas Jr. on, particularly on the public property bill that Empower DC fought so hard for. That we need to improve our legislation that really protects the people and also encourages and promotes green jobs in our community and apprenticeship programs in our high schools and our community. The job issue has to be very high in the agenda of the future council and mayor.
Lastly, David Schwartzman, any final thoughts you have, and also the significance of the Statehood Green Party, which is the party that you're on the ticket for. In this progressive city, it doesn't necessarily come to people's mind as the second party after the Democrats, but maybe your campaign has something to say about that. Any final thoughts on the significance of the Statehood Green Party?
Well, we are a small party. We have about 4,000 registered members, but keep in mind that we commonly get 10-15% of the vote. So most of our voters are not registered Statehood Green. They are Democrats, they're independents, and even some progressive Republicans vote for us. And I think they're going to elect me if I earn their vote. And if they know about what we stand for, that's a challenge. So the Statehood Green Party actually, in last few elections, in terms of total votes, actually got more than Republicans. But that may be misleading. I'm looking forward to D.C. where we have truly a mass D.C. Statehood Green Party, and as a real contender for office, along with the Democratic Party.
Thanks, David Schwartzman.